Wouldn't you hate to be in the world thinking, well, God saved me, but if I get sick, you know, you got to go and be cut on, you got to have this, that, and the other, and you may have to die an untimely death. No, there's divine healing. Divine healing. Not healing, divine healing. There's a difference in natural healing, medical healing, and divine healing. All three of them is in a category of their own. Natural healing. Now you take, like the fellow said, a bellyache, and about to double over with it, and you can just go to bed and sleep and drink some good water, kind of eat the right thing, and your natural system will take care of it. You can have a fever, and you can just go to bed and cover up, maybe drink a little hot lemonade, and sweat it out, and that fever eventually will kill the infection that it's trying to take care of, and you'll be all right. You say, I don't believe in Jesus. Well, that natural healing will still work. God put it in there, and when man gets his hand all cut open, boy, there it is all laid open. He said, don't believe in God. Don't believe in Jesus. I'm an atheist. Man, I wish you was a Christian, because now you got your hand all ripped open, cut open. And if you was a Christian, you know, that'd just heal right up. Nope, it'll heal up anyway. God made him. It's a natural healing. And it's amazing what that natural healing can do. God made that in his goodness. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Then there is a medical healing. We go and let doctors assist nature. And they give you this and give you that, and sometimes they miss it. Has side effects, blows up, and sometimes you suffer the rest of your life because they didn't know what they was doing. Sometimes they help people. And if people was here and didn't have God, didn't know God, they do the best they can, it's all right. The very best of us sometimes may need help, and we don't brag on always being able to let God do everything, but he can. We have a privilege. There is a divine healing that has nothing absolutely to do with either one or the rest of them. Now, a lot of people say, well, divine healing is go to the doctor, let him write out a prescription, let him go ahead and do what he wants to, and then you pray and ask God to help the doctor. That's divine healing. It's no such a thing. Divine healing is what Jesus said it was. If there's any sick among you, call the elders of the church. And let them pray over them, anointing them with oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick when the doctor comes and gives him his prescription, and he fills it and takes it. And after several days, he shall recover and get all right again. But that's not what it says. One of our brethren, and some of them right here, remember hearing him say that, one of our brothers that's on every day, he goes all, he has programs, different parts of the world. He's classed one of those big preachers. You know, and he doesn't believe in divine healing. Whenever you cross up God's word and start not believing what the book said, you're going to get in trouble.
Yes.
So he was teaching through James, and when he came to the fifth chapter, he didn't want to hopscotch over it and let everybody out there say, ah, yeah, he wouldn't attack it. You know, because here it comes about divine healing, tells you what to do if you're sick. But he doesn't believe in divine healing. He's been popping off on all these other lessons. And he doesn't believe that's over at all. So when he came to that, he had to do something with it. So he did. I was listening. I hope someone else was listening too. And so I came here and found out they'd listened and heard him say it. But he said, if there's any sick among you, call the elders of the church. They come in with oil. Now, he said, I've looked this up in the Greek, this, that, and the other. And he said, that's oil, a hair grooming oil, like Braille cream. Get Braille cream. And you come in, and that's for the hair. He grooms the hair, combs it, and gives him a prescription. They call a doctor and fill the prescription, and he gets better. That's the way he interpreted this. If there's any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. I've got some grandkids, but the smallest one, if they couldn't do better than that, I'd spank them. Now, you say, is that an intelligent person? It's a stupid person. There's a lot of them that are false teachers. Now, that's handling the Word of God deceitfully. But as I mentioned, I want to read just a few of these. And I'm glad to tell you that God is absolutely concerned about your ailment. We think that God looks at us and we've got all kind of problems, but God doesn't want to heal them. You say, well, now there's some cases. Why is some cases are not healed? I'll tell you, I don't know. He never told me anywhere in the Bible that he said, everybody that gets sick, when they're prayed for, they're going to get well. He told us that the prayer of faith would save the sick. I can stand here and tell you that my 50 years of ministry, I have had a constant ministry of laying hands on people and they have been healed. There's one right there. A living testimony right there. Isn't that wonderful? Here's from gallbladder trouble. And we had another one over there the other day that had sugar diabetes for several years. And so God can do it. Now, I don't know why Paul had to leave his buddy and his special friend, and he left him sick. Not because Paul couldn't pray the prayer of faith, but for some reason, the man that he prayed for was, according to the word, was a good Christian. And he was a child of God. Now, Paul was a child of God, but Paul prayed for him and left him sick. But we don't build a doctrine on the one that he left sick. We build a doctrine on his teachings of divine healing, and we build a doctrine on the many hundreds of thousands that he prayed for and God instantly healed. You know what I mean? Now, it says right here, we're reading a few of these testimonies that are coming in from people out there in radio land. And don't forget, too, that this coming Sunday, I'm going to be praying for the sick. God told me when I first entered in the ministry 50 years ago, he said, son, I want you to pray for the sick. And I knew right away that I was going to, through my ministry, I was going to minister to the sick. Now, I never healed anybody in my life. I can't heal. But I can lay hands on people in the name of Jesus and them get well. Because God says that in his word. These signs follow them that believe. Now, don't get me wrong. This doesn't belong to a lot of churches. It doesn't belong to a lot of the preachers in those churches. Because it only belongs to the believer. Now, there's a lot of them, they don't believe the Lord's going to heal.
That's right.
And if God went ahead and did it, he'd do contrary to his word. Because he said, when you pray, ask in faith. And if you don't ask in faith, if you don't believe, don't think you'll get anything from God. That's what the Bible said. So he said, when you pray, believe. Ask in faith, wavering. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is as the waves of the sea. So as I said, divine healing. Everybody, we say, sometime, oh, it's for everybody. Well, it could be for everybody, but it's not. It's only for those that believe. The Bible said that. These signs shall follow them. He didn't say these signs shall follow everybody. These signs shall just follow anybody on earth that gets sick, no matter what they believe, they'll get well. Oh, no. He said it's not for that at all. My son went to the cross, and he died for our sins, and he went to Pilate's hall and was striped for our healing. And by whose stripes you were healed, not going to be healed. He never said anything about him going to heal us. The Bible said, by whose stripes you were healed. Yes. Now, if Peter back there in the days right after Christ went to heaven, if Peter said, by whose stripes ye were healed, he wasn't talking about something that's going to be done. He was talking about something that had already been done.
Yes, yes.
And how true it is. When was I saved? I was saved 1900 years ago when Christ paid the price on Calvary.
Yes. Amen.
Now, I can go through life and die and go to hell if I don't ever come to the Lord and confess my sin and believe on Him. But He doesn't have to wiggle His little finger. All He did to save me was done 1900 years ago. God is waiting on Hibbard to do my part, and I have salvation, for it was paid for on the cross.
Right.
Now, can you divorce divine healing from that very setup? Anybody try to do it. See if you don't get in trouble. The same Christ on the same crucifixion, Isaiah prophesying what He'd do on the cross. Surely He's borne our grief, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Isaiah looked forward to the cross, 53rd chapter. And he told us right there all the many things that Jesus would do for us at Calvary. And right there in the middle of it, he said, by whose stripes we're healed. How and who can be big enough and mean enough to reach into the promise of God now and take out healing and leave the rest of it?
Yes.
When the prophecy said that His stripes healed us. Then you come 812 years, I think it is, after that, and then Christ arrived. But that prophecy was given 812 years before Christ arrived. Now, when He arrived, He said, I'm going to the cross. And while He lived, He told us He's going to take care of our, not only our sins, He's going to take care of our sickness. He said to us, He said, you was fouled up through Adam, soul and body. Now He said, as a redeemer, Adam, through Adam, sin affected the soul, you know. Sin and death passed upon the human race, the first Adam. Now my Bible says in Romans 5 that Christ was the last Adam. He was the second Adam. Now, and the word says there that everything that Adam brought on us, Christ took off.
Yeah.
Now, if no one on earth can ever get sick only through Adam, who ever heard of anybody getting sick unless it was through the law of sin and death? You say, well, suppose I just go out there and take something and make myself sick. Well, it's because of Adam's transgression. Because had not Adam sinned, he'd still be here today healthy, and he would have never had a headache, and he had never had a pain in his life had he not sinned. That's what the Bible said. It said he'd have lived forever. That meant he'd have been living today. I'm giving you truth. I'm not giving you a bunch of stuff out of books. But we find the same Bible that said that through Adam, sin and death passed upon all. Through Christ, if the disobedience of one made many sinners, and sickness passed upon all, how much more shall the righteousness of another make many? So where sin abound through Adam, grace doth much more abound through Christ. So you've summed the whole thing up, and here's what he said. He said, we've got two men. They're both called the sons of God. Now, the Bible calls Adam a son of God because he didn't have no earthly papa. And he didn't have no earthly mama. And the only one that was responsible for him being here was God Almighty.
That's right.
And so he was nothing else but the son of God. Adam was the son of God. And the Bible calls him the son of God. But the son of God sold out to the devil. And he committed mutiny. He sold out. And the Bible said that through Adam, all sin passed upon all. Now, if our Bible teaches us there's going to come another, and Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53 is the one that's coming that's going to deliver us, His soul is going to be made an offering for our sin.
Right.
And by His stripes, we're going to be healed. Wouldn't it be stupid to think all those things that Isaiah 53 said he'd do for us and then come down to the healing, that'd only last just while Jesus was here? Well, Jesus would have told us about it, but he didn't. He said it's going to last to the end of the world. You're going to pray for them, they're going to get well till the end. You say he didn't say it. He did say it. He said, I want you to preach this gospel, and when you preach it, I want you to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and I want you to preach it to the end of the world. And Paul came up and said, amen. I'm going to add something to that. He said, I preach divine healing and pray for everybody and anoint them with oil and expect God to heal them. And if I come back later and don't preach it, let me be accursed. And if an angel drops down out of heaven and really gives his credentials that he is an angel from heaven and he preaches a gospel and he fails to preach divine healing and he fails to lay hands on the sick and they get well, let that angel be accursed. You say, is that in the book? That's in the book. But seemingly of some of these cemeteries, they don't seem to find it, but it's right there in the book. Galatians, the first chapter, 7th verse. Paul repeated that twice. He said, if I or an angel should come and preach any other gospel unto you than that which I have preached, let him be accursed. And he said, I say unto you again, if I, he said, it's the only place I find anywhere in Romans, Corinthians, or Ephesians, or any of them, where he ever made a statement, just come right back and made it again. But he did here. He said, I just got through saying something, sounded good, I'm going to say it again. And right there, he says it twice. Don't ever let any preacher, no matter where he comes from or who he says he is, if he tries to do away with divine healing, he's taking away one of the very cores of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
My Bible didn't say that he might heal. It said, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, as I said, Isaiah said that by whose stripes you're going to heal. He's going to heal us. And when he come, he must do that because Isaiah said he would. And in 1 Peter 2:24, here it is. I just opened up to it a few minutes ago. Let me read it here. 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who his own self, Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You say, I just can't believe that. Well, it'd be good for you to believe it, because if you don't believe it, you're in trouble. But I love to believe it, because Peter said here that on that cross, the same Christ that took care of our sins and in his own body, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, did Christ have stripes put on him? The Bible said they did. Carried him out and they laid the stripes on him. Isaiah, 812 years before Christ came, it said he's going to come. He's going to make his soul an offering for sin. He's going to bear our iniquities. He's going to pour out his soul unto death. He's going to carry our grief. And by his stripes, we're going to be healed. So he had, that had to be. Pilate took him out, put him, stripped him, put his clothes off of him, took a big Roman soldier, took the long quirt, and opened up his back, put stripes all over him from top to bottom. Thought that would touch the Jews, and they would do away with death and let him go free. But they cut him to pieces. And when he came out bleeding, my Bible said, by his stripes you were healed. Not going to be. Never does it say you're going to be. It said, by whose stripes you were healed. If you're sick right now, he healed you 1900 years ago. He's waiting for you to raise your hand and say, Lord, I believe in divine healing. I accept it. And God heals you. I've been preaching this for 50 years and it's never backfired one time. Have these old Fords, you know, you go down the street going, kiss your papa, kiss your papa, kiss your papa, kiss your papa. And all at once you get to going real fast and throw up that spark just like this, and it'll go pop, 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 and boy, it'd backfire. But as I've gone down this path of the gospel, I have preached divine healing in all parts of the world. I went over to Rome, Italy, in the shadow of the Vatican. And I put great big billboards on all the buses coming and going up and down on Rome, on the streets of Rome. And we had our books on every newsstand in the city of Rome. And we had billboards out there on the Alessi Opera House, one of the greatest and the largest opera houses in Italy. Great big signs that we were going to open up a revival of the words of Jesus. And brother, that afforded me a lot to say. And they told me, some of our Protestant boys told me, don't preach divine healing now. And be very careful, don't lay hands on people. I said, brother, the very thing you're telling me not to do is the thing I just specialize in. So I went over to Rome, Italy, in the shadow of the Vatican. And I had the fella that opened up the Vatican every morning, went into the Italy news. It was the only radio station, the biggest, the largest radio station in Italy, one of the largest. He went in every morning and opened it up and started the radio going throughout all Rome. His daughter came to the revival and was gloriously blessed. And every day he would get his car and take my literature up and down the streets and give them out to everybody and come right there to the revival. The fellow that when I got off of the plane, I walked up to the place and he said, where's your passport? And I said, here it is. And he looked at it. And he looked at me. And he said, put it in here. And I put my passport in there. He took the stamp and he stamped it. He said, you're a Hibbert. I said, yeah. You believe in divine healing? You're the one going to pray for the sick? Yep. My wife has cancer. I said, where do you live? He told us. Said, we'll come by and pick you up and take you to the service. So the guy working for the government that stamped my visa to let me in the country attended night after night and didn't miss a night. The man that came on the radio in the most powerful radio there in Rome attended my service night after night. The man that was the minister of finance, he had come night after night. The one that owned the Alessi Opera House, he was a multimillionaire. He sat there on the platform. Rosa Pepe, one of the most famous attorneys in all Italy, he fought and got religious freedom for Protestants there in Rome. He sat on the platform, and the first night of the revival, who must come up? Almost totally blind, they had one on each side of her, than the Queen of Spain in exile. She left Spain and went to Rome. And she's heard the program and she had heard about it. Don't tell me you can't preach this gospel everywhere. And I said, we're going to pray for the sick. Far as I know, that was the first healing line they'd had there since the Apostle Paul back there. They had 6 million killed during the dark ages around there. But now we're having an old-fashioned Pentecostal revival. I'm talking about divine healing, brother. It'll bring a revival anywhere you preach it. And so I didn't know who the lady was, but she came up. She began to shout. I'd been praying for folks. She was way back about 8 or 10 down the line. She came up and she said, God's already healed me. I got within 10 feet of where you are. And the power of God hit me and my eyes are open. I can see. Who was it talking? The Queen of Spain. All the dignitaries there knew who she was. She said, can I have this microphone, Mr. Preacher? And I said, yes, sister. I didn't know who she was. They did. She said, I want to tell you what Jesus just did for me. And the Queen of Spain introduced divine healing in Rome as the glory of God began to fall. And as they come in a great long line and one by one was touched and healed by the power of God. When I got through, many of them wanted a new birth. And they prayed and got a new birth. When I got through, they said, we want the Holy Ghost. And I said, all right, we haven't got room here. Go up on the platform. We had a platform bigger than a lot of churches. I never saw such a platform. It's an opera house where they have all kind of operas. And I'll tell you, you could put about 200 or 300 on that platform. I said, now those who want the Holy Ghost, come on up here and get down, raise your hand, God will fill you. And one fellow went up there and wasn't there but just a few minutes, fell out on the power, came to in a few minutes, shouted and said, I saw Jesus. And he was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. I tried to find room, and there was, I guess, 80 to 100 out under the power from one end to the other. Who told them? Nobody told them. I just got up and preached Christ. There's hungry. They wanted the truth. They wanted something real. They begin to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. And there was one of the fellows that came down to the altar, and everybody was shaking and moving and twisting around there. And he came down for the salvation call. And I wondered who in the world this guy is. And Mac Turner said, you don't know who that guy is? And I said, no. He said, he's the guy that's running for the Communist Party. Now, we don't want the Communist Party here in Italy. And this is the one, you see his picture in great big boxcar signs all over the city. He's got his big picture all over the city. And he's running for the head or for the president of the nation, whatever they call him. And he was running on the Communist ticket. But he came to an old-fashioned Pentecostal revival and came to the altar and was born again. And it began to stir some of them at the Vatican. And I do appreciate we had good cooperation from them. But they sent out one of their men that they send in natural clothes. I forget what they call them. But they are not, they don't have their collar turned around. But they came in natural clothes. He belongs to some kind of an order. I forget what you call it. But it is to come and spy out or look around and bring back the honest report. And so, after coming several times, he came to Mac Turnan and said, told who he was, shook his hands and introduced himself. And he said, I've been sent here to give the report. And he said, I'm glad to tell you that I went back and gave this report. If all of our churches in Rome was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ like this man is preaching it, we would never fear communists. We would take it by storm. Don't you tell me that the gospel of Jesus Christ has ever weakened down. It still has its power. In that very revival that I'm talking about, I'm talking about divine healing, spearheads of a revival over the nation. When the apostles went forth, brother, they went forth praying for the sick, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and they recovered. While I was in the middle of that great big revival, that was one of the people there that were very elite. They were the top totem pole. They had money. They had everything. And they'd heard about what God was doing, and they had a son that was 11 years old. And he had never been able to sleep ever since he's 2 years old. He'd never been able to sleep at night without being chained. He had never been able to take a bite of food in his own hands and put it up to his mouth. He would keep his thumb in his mouth, and he'd bite it and suck it. And that thumb was about 2 or 3 times the size of an ordinary thumb. And he was jerking and shaking, and they thought he had a devil. And they wanted me to come in and cast out the devil. And that was so the next day, Brother McTernan said, Brother Everett, this family, they're very prominent people. And they have this son in that terrible condition. And they want you to come up and cast the devil out of him. And I went to this huge place, and we had to push a button, and all at once they began to sound back the report that they had got the message, and they would release the gate, and then there was a click, and a great big gate began to swing open. We went into it. When we went into it, then we came up to another great big bronze door, and we pushed another button, and thing rolled back, and we got inside of that. And so finally we managed to get up to the bedroom where the boy was and the parents were. They were very graceful to have us there. Pentecostal people that loved God, preaching the old-fashioned gospel. Of course, they were of the Catholic faith, but they believed in miracles and they believed in Jesus. And so I appreciate that. And so I went in, and they said, our child has a devil, and we want someone that believes in casting out devils. And I went over, and Brother McTurn and all, and they began to pray for the child, but I never detected an evil spirit. I couldn't feel any evil power. And we mentioned, oh God, bind this thing or whatever it is. I was very confused because I didn't feel it was a devil. And I left the ones that were praying, Brother McTurnan, Sister Hibbard, and Brother McTurnan's wife. There were five in all. The other associate pastor was along with us. And I went over in the corner and I knelt and I said, Lord, this child doesn't seem to have a devil. Now, Lord, what's wrong here? And as I was in the corner praying, listen to me, listen closely. God spoke to my heart. He said, this boy doesn't have a devil. He was operated on as a child. And in the operation, in his head, they have affected a part that causes this problem. It will take a creative power to put it back. It's going to have to be recreated in his mind, in his head. And I said, thank you, Lord. We'll come the right route. I got up. I said, just a minute. Everyone quit praying. I said, did this child have some kind of an operation at its youth? The mother stepped up, said, yes, at 2 years of age. I said, well, good. That coincides with what God just said. What part of your body did you operate on? His head. I said, that's the second thing. That's just what God told me. Now, I said, when they operated, they affected a part of his brain that causes this condition. So now we shall lay hands on him and he will quieten down. God will replace. That's divine healing. By whose stripes you were healed. That's why I'm having healing service here Sunday morning. And people are coming sick and be healed. For 50 years, I prayed for the sick. I've seen them come off of wheelchairs. I've seen the cancer go away in just a day or so. And they're living today when they only had a few hours to live. Thousands that were dying of heart trouble, their hearts are pumping perfect now. I never healed anybody, but Jesus told me to pray and he'd heal. So I laid my hand on that boy and I prayed. And when I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, create the part that needs in this child. Touch him and make him whole. Do in him what you did for him at Calvary. And when I got through that boy, look, every fiber of his being become as calm as the Sea of Galilee when it had a raging storm and Jesus said, peace, be still. And there was a great peace, a great calm. That boy was calm. The mother looked. She knew something had happened. Now she is seeing something she hadn't seen in 11 years. And the boy looked and he didn't go to his mother. He didn't go to his daddy. He didn't go to none of us. He looked over at Sister Hibbard and he grinned real big. And he walked slowly over to Sister Hibbard and put his arm around her and hugged her. And Sister Hibbard hugged her. The next day the parents came to that revival. That's what brings people out. Telling them the truth, not lying to them, telling them the truth. The parents came the next day and they said, Brother Hibbard, get ready. Do you want a report that'll make you shout? I said, yes. We have not seen our boy sit at the table and take the fork and eat in 11 years. But when you left, he sat down at supper time and there he ate with a fork as perfect as anybody. When the time come to go to bed for 11 years, we put chains on him. He could not be left in the bed at night without chains on his body. But we never put a chain on him. And instead of him writhing and rattling chains through the night, he slept sound all night. Woke up the next morning, sat down at the table and ate breakfast. Brother, that's by whose stripes ye were healed. And I haven't had an angel come around and tell me they're going to preach the gospel of Christ, but they're not going to pray for the sick. If they do, I'll tell them, you're accursed, brother, in the name of Jesus. Paul said, let them be accursed. And so we left that revival. And how did we leave it? That we left it in a flame of glory. Do you know that all Dallas saw the opera house that I was on the inside giving an altar call right at the very time with the thing packed and the glory coming down? The great big trucks with all the cameras on it came by. And they turned it across the street to the United States banking system there. And they were showing the Colosseum. Whenever you see anything to identify Rome, you see the Colosseum. When it's Paris, you see the Eiffel Tower. They had just got through taking a picture of the Colosseum. They came down the main street, and since the Alessia Opera House is one of the greatest opera houses in Italy, they turned the cameras on it and shot it up to the Telestar. Now, the Telestar had just been given birth to. Never before in the history of time had they taken a live picture and shot it back to America, but they just shot it up there, and to celebrate it, they were sending pictures from Rome and from Paris, and so they focused on the Alessia Opera House. We were inside at that very time with the glory coming down and the power of God moving. After they got out of the way, and we dismissed that night, that was the close of the revival. If you remember, that was on a Sunday night when those pictures were sent back over here. They got over here about 2 o'clock in the morning, but people sat up and listened, waiting for it. You know what happened? We said, get ready. We want your accordions and your trumpets and all, and we're going to march. We marched down to the Colosseum, where over 6 million martyrs were brought out, and the lions came out and tore them apart. That is Christians that died. They died for the faith, and they had not been permitted to give an open testimony in that Colosseum. Brother McTernan went up there and handed the fellow the guides a $5 bill, I think, said, here's a little tip. We're going to sing Onward Christian Soldiers. And they smiled and said, well, that's good. So we... The great Alessia Opera House turned out its crowd of a revival, and we marched down there and sang that song, Onward Christian Soldiers. And it had been, I guess, 1900 years since there had been any kind of a Protestant revival or anything in that place. But we sang it, we shouted as we went around. And we closed out that meeting. Let me tell you, the gospel of Jesus Christ is covering the ages. As we went to Bangkok, I laid my hand upon a Buddhist priest. Not supposed to lay the hand on the head, but he came far and stuck his head right out for me to lay my hand on it. Oh, I'll tell you, brother, the doctrines have to fall at the feet of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad he said, this gospel shall be preached to the end of the world. And that's why I'm praying for the sick tomorrow. That's why we're believing God's going to heal them. And people, I want you to tell others, tell them to come in the morning service. We're going to believe that God's going to undertake. So he said, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, I'm going to say this other thing. Paul the apostle said, when Christ ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. He put gifts in the church, and one of those gifts is the gifts of miracles. One of them is the gift of faith. One of them is the gift of healing. And is anybody big enough to take them out? You know when they're going to go out? They're going to go out when the church goes up in a flash of glory. But the gifts of healing are still in the church. I have seen untold thousands of people heal of everything you can imagine. I've seen where they've had sugar diabetes for years and years, shot themselves with a needle every day, but we've laid our hands on them and the power of God come upon them and they'd never have to take another shot of insulin. Check and find out there's no sugar in their blood. Jesus healed them. We've seen them come blind with dark glasses, their son and daughter on each side bringing them in. And I laid my, some of you right here looking at me that was there when this happened. And this fella came from Fort Worth. And he looked up at me, he couldn't see, but he said, "Brother Hibbert." I said, "Yeah, here I am." He said, "Yes, sir. Lay your hands on me, and when you pray for me, I'm going to drive my kids back to Fort Worth." I laid my hands on him, and he let out a shout. He said, "Bill, come here. I can tell you what kind of tie you got. I can tell you what kind of suit you got. Brother Hibbert, you got a certain kind of a tie. Oh, God's given my eyesight. Who did it? I didn't do it. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of God. The Son of God opened his eyes." When old Gunn came over from Mount Pleasant, Texas, and he had been dismissed with silver plates in his body, ulcerated stomach, had not eaten any solid food in over 4 years, lived on liquids, could not eat any solid food, and he could not turn himself over in the bed, totally paralyzed from his waist down. Neighbors come in every day to roll him over. He was a chain smoker. He was away from God, and he was paralyzed. He had ulcerated stomach, and he was in a bad fix. They brought him in the city of Dallas, and he said, "If you'll take me in there to Gospel Lighthouse, let Hibbert pray for me, I'll drive the car back." And they brought him in. And while they was bringing him down the aisle, he couldn't walk on crutches. They was having to drag him. And when they were dragging him down, they let it slip, and he fell like a sack of wheat. They reached down and pulled him back up and drug him up to the front. And when they slushed him down on the front seat there and put him down, I walked over to him and I said, "Gunn, do you believe that God's going to heal you when I pray for you?" He said, "When you lay your hands on me, I'm going to run all over this place." I laid my hands on him. And when I laid my hands on him, he leaped out from under my hand, that floor. He hit that floor and came up there with as good a legs as you ever saw in your life. He began to run. He didn't walk. He ran back and forth. And he said, "Brother Hibbert, God has made me perfectly whole." And he said to the men, "Give me those keys. I'm going to drive you back to Mount Pleasant." And he said, "I'm so hungry, I can't hardly stand it. I haven't had a bite of solid food in my body in 4 years. I've been living on liquids." And so they carried him down three blocks to Pig Stand. There was a stand, they got French fries and a steak. And he ate the French fries and the steaks. And he must have digested pretty quick. But he got on into Mount Pleasant. When he got in the edge of town, he said, "Pull over here at this restaurant. I got to have another bunch of fried potatoes and steak." And he got him a second steak. And he went in and shouted and told his wife about what God had done for him. And he threw his cigarettes away, never touched another one. He's a chain smoker. God delivered him from cigarettes, delivered him from his ulcerated stomach, let him eat three meals a day, put a brand new body to him. He could walk good as anybody. He walked all over the country, went to church 5 miles, walked 5 miles, and got up and gave his testimony in the Baptist church, and they had a revival. He went about everywhere. He came back in about 3 weeks, got up, said, "I've gained 34 pounds. You can't believe it. He had gained 34 pounds eating three meals a day. He looked like a football coach. He said, "I've never smoked another cigarette. I eat three meals a day. I can run and walk and do anything I want to." That's divine healing. I said, that's divine healing. That's what God told me to do. Now, I may pray for some, and for some reason, God sees it's best to just keep them where they are. And I pray for them. Am I going to blow a fuse and go out of business because one doesn't get well? I'm going to keep laying hands, going to believe in that God's going to get the glory. I want us to stand to our feet together right now, and we're going to thank God. that Sunday morning God's going to move here and God's going to manifest His power. I want you to believe and ask God and know that God's going to do it. Father, we're praying right now for the power of God to be manifest, and I pray that You'll move upon people everywhere. Jesus, I thank You that You're God and that You're ever living to make intercession. Oh, hallelujah. I thank You, Jesus. I praise You.
Fear thou not, saith the Lord, for the glory shall fall upon thee. Yea, and thou shalt see miracles, saith the Lord. For I am the God of Jacob and Isaac, and I am the God that Paul preached, saith the Lord. And I am here to heal even this very day, for thou shalt be healed. You are here this day, saith the Lord, and you have come for healing in your body. Wilt thou not believe now? Now, saith the Lord, and thou shalt be delivered from that cancer that thou art carrying in your body. Thou shalt deliver you now if thou shalt believe, saith the Lord God, and the problems that thou hast seen shall be solved, saith the Lord God. Rejoice, rejoice, for my word is true. My word is true. I am the Lord. I am the Lord that healeth thee, saith the Lord God. Oh,
raise your hand and praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Thank God. While He plays softly, if you have an affliction in your body, there's nothing so big but what the stripes can take care of it. And if you have an affliction and you have a fear, I want you to come forward now and I'm going to pray for you. Amen. Praise God.
What do you? I have a sore throat now, Brother Hibbert, and it's been going on for a good while.
Get ready to get rid of it.
But I'm not going to have it after
today. Father, honor her faith. According to her faith, be it unto her. In the name of Jesus Christ, God's Son, You're ever living to make intercession. Thank You, Jesus. That's it. Praise God, it's done. Glory to God.
They got a medical name for what it is.
Yeah, well, God can take care of the blockage. Sure can. He, one of our boys had come here, that Cummings boy, his main valve come out of his heart this way. It is twisted and went down under this way instead of coming out and going over. When the doctor brought him in after we prayed for him, there was a brand new artery that came up and went exactly like it should be. He said, I can't believe this. I can't believe you're the same boy. So God can do it. Father, we pray for this man. We ask You to touch this blockage and to heal it. You just got through confirming the word and touch this body. Manifest Your power. Heal in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now you want to get rid of fear.
Huh? She has throat cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jesus is by whose stripes you were healed. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That makes Him the same right now. He that comes to God must believe He is and is a rewarder. You believe He is right now. And He is a rewarder. And I'm going to lay my hand on you. And the Bible said the prayer of faith will save the sick. You thank God, don't you doubt? That's not bigger than God. God's bigger than it. Raise your hand and thank Him for healing. Father, we pray to speak the word, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. makes this woman free from the law of sin and death, I command it to die in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Rejoice now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless this soul, whatever her need is. Meet the need. Touch this body. Oh, God, curse them. Stand in the way. Make her whole for Christ's sake right now. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, touch this mother right now. Curse this thing and command it to go in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. God, bind the enemy and deliver her right now for Jesus' sake. Thank God for her.
When I was small, I had a scar on my wrist and sometimes an accident.
Now, Jesus, we pray to heal this.
Thank you, Jesus.
It doesn't have to act up. We pray to heal it. Honor his faith. Touch it right now. In Jesus' name, thank God. Lord, we thank you what you're going to do right this minute. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for making her whole, for Christ's sake. God, you're ever living to make an intercession right now. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you doubt. Believe and know it's going to be done. Father, we pray for this woman. In the name of Jesus, I lay my hand upon her. I take dominion over this condition. Heal her body now, for Christ's sake. Glory to God, it's done. Oh, hallelujah. Touch this woman and heal. Right now, in the name of Jesus, manifest your power, for Christ's sake. You're God and you're ever living to make intercession. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you. We have about 100 requests from Radio Land. We have a great big bunch here, 2 pages, 70 some odd here. Instead of reading them this morning, since we feel such presence of God, I'm going to hold them in my hand. I'm going to ask God to minister to everyone that wrote in, everyone that phoned in. Raise your hand and believe God right now. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I pray, Father, to undertake, and we agree together, touch these that are sick, heal in the name of Jesus. Remember everyone that phoned in. God, don't let one go unanswered. God, deal with a soul. Now we pray for those, Lord, that wrote in, manifest your power. God, deliver them in the name of Jesus. We ask it for your glory right now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, Lord, we thank you. They are committed into your hand. You're able to keep that which is committed to thee. I commit everyone into your hand. For Jesus' sake. Bless the offering this morning, Lord, as we pass the pan. For Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to give as God lays on your heart this morning. Praise God. All right. Now, we'll sing a little song here. Let's sing that. We all know, oh, how I love Jesus. Sing it. Well, oh, how I love Jesus. When I am so blue, well, I am happy, and well, the joy bells are ringing, and my soul is singing. Well, it's wonderful to know that he is mine. Oh, well, oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Well, oh, how I love Jesus. Well, it's because he first loved me. How does those words go? When I am. Yeah, when I should be sad. I'm so happy.
And
my heart
is so happy.
My soul is so glad. I'll have to get that down. I let that slip. We haven't sung that for a while. Let's all just kneel, make an altar where we are for a few minutes before we go. It's 10 minutes to 12, about 15 minutes to 12. Let's just kneel, ask God to bless this morning. Praise God.